I should indicate that the Foreign Minister might be arriving any minute when the deliberation of the committee. MPs were asked to come and give you a briefing on the FOCAC, China-Africa cooperation. That will be the first presentation. And then afterwards, we'll give the honorable members of parliament the briefing on the ISSA, India, Brazil, South Africa partnership. I'm accompanied here by Ambassador Steve. Ambassador Steve is working with me on the China question, and he couldn't be being asked to join me to work on the ISSA file. The foreign minister are aware that there was a summit between Africa and China in November last year. I want to go straight to the outcomes of that summit that was held in Beijing. Most of the outcomes, I've tried to capture them on the document which MPs hope had. It's entitled Portfolio Committee Briefing on the Role of China in Africa, in the context of FOCAC. So I hope all of our MPs have this document. Now, from that document, the beginning, I thought I should just go straight into the bringing of the outcome. What came out of this 3-day summit between the Republic of China and African countries when one, China things want to double the total development of the development cooperation was the major area of discussion to lift Africa out of poverty and unemployment. Then the other thing discussed was the credit to Africa, and China said, we will provide $5 billion. And over and above that, China says, I'm going to establish a $5 billion development fund to encourage Chinese companies to invest in Africa. The issue here was not buying things from Africa, it was to invest in Africa. Not to buy African goods, but to invest those companies in the continent. So China says, okay, we'll start with $1 billion. From that trillion dollar surplus, I don't remember those Chinese thing on the $1.2 trillion surplus money they have. And they say, okay, we'll start to use our trillion surplus to have development in the continent. And then, for China says, we'll cancel all interest-free government debt to China by the hippie countries, the highly developed and least developing countries in Africa. Those are diplomatic relations with China. I think some MPs will may take note of that. Those are diplomatic relations with China. Not all African countries will benefit from this relation of that. The other issue was market access. Then China says they will radically open up Chinese market to products from Africa's entities by removing all tariffs of 140 products. Now we're still waiting on the list of these products. What are these 140 products China wants to list tariffs? On the human capital development, China says they will have to train 15,000 African professionals. Over and above that, they will provide 4,000 scholarships by 2,000 to come and study in China. And over and above that, they will bring to our schools and employ experts in agriculture and open up special agricultural technology centers in Africa, including South Africa. One of these special agricultural technology centers will be opened in South Africa. And then, on the issue of health, China says they will help develop infrastructure building hospitals, providing of drugs, and helping to intensify my fight against malaria and other pandemics. So there are the basket of agreement on development, China pledges to assist them. The second dimension of this was political consultations. Of course, this was the umbrella of it. Then the summit agreed to have a regular consultation of foreign ministers so they can regularly review the FOCAC agreement. And it was then agreed that this political consultation will take place during the 14th year when the summit is held by the foreign ministers. Now, the start of this political consultation will take place on the 24th of September. In New York, 10 o'clock, both MPs will be in New York for a General Assembly. The meeting will take place at 10 o'clock, 24th of September, in New York. This is the third foreign minister's consultation after the summit in Beijing. This meeting will be chaired by Egypt, because Egypt in 2008 will host the African foreign ministers and China meeting in Cairo. As I said, for MPs, the purpose of these consultations is to make sure that we don't lose momentum on the China-Africa cooperation. The next slide is progress after November. What has happened in the last 10 months? We have agreed that China-Africa should be a very action-oriented, outcome-based cooperation. Times of planning, times of resolutions are over. We need something which is practical, timely, and to deliver the goods. So I thought it's quite good at this stage to let current MPs aware of what has happened in the last 10 years. More than 70 agreements and MOUs have been signed between China and African states. On the cooperation I talked about on the first three slides. And concrete bilateral agreements were signed with 24 African countries. To do this, the Chinese president himself, Mr. Hu Jintao, and his foreign minister have been going around Africa to make sure that we implement what we are doing. And so far, there is a 15 countries, including Sarawak and Zebra. The Chinese Muslim Dao was here in Zebra. He was in Sarawak and Zebra. And another African delegation has been visiting China to go for specific agreements. We recall China wants to build over 100 hospitals in the continent, so you have to go to China. You want to build colleges and schools, so you have to go there and negotiate specifics of this cooperation agreement. In between, Chinese Ministry of Commerce has sent six delegations visiting 16 African countries to make sure that the tariffs identified and been explored, including investment, when we invest, with whom do we invest. Five working groups visited 14 African countries to enhance cooperation in the field of human development. This was a very key outcome of the summit, human development. And another 11 working groups with 25 African countries to initiate malaria discussions on eight hospitals and anti-malaria centers. Then, for this issue to sustain, we need to build institutions in the continent. And then it was agreed that we should begin with the first 10 centers, actual development centers. We are ourselves discussing with China about the Agriculture Development Center to be built in South Africa. And the first of the first 30 agreed anti-malaria centers. And they were then went to Addis Ababa, where China is helping AU to build a very huge conference center, which we hope will be finished completed in 2010. Now, these are some of the very concrete outcomes of the China, Africa. Then comes the question of loans and credit. And then the voting outcome of this election by region. So far, China has signed a grant agreement with 17 African countries. And they will plan to provide three African countries with special loans to finance 30 selected development projects to take about $300 billion. And with the agreement signed with five African countries, they initially plan to provide $30 million for provincial export credit. The China-African Development Fund, with a capital of $1 billion, will be realized at the end of 2007. There are so far exchanges also with the China-African countries to receive a number of zero tariff Chinese imported commodities from Africa. Enhancing cooperation with financial fields with the African Development Bank, the Chinese convened a meeting in Shanghai, as honorable MPs are aware, in July, with 2,000 African citizens coming over there, including the World Bank and IMF. And part of that meeting was China's dedication to focus the attention on Africa so that we can deal with poverty and the unemployment. On the skills area, the coordinating of the strategic training courses by China, which provided high-level training in various vital skills to almost 100 Chinese, and they plan to train another 1,000 Chinese during the rest of 2007. We will also be mentioning South Africa on this training program. China is planning to send 100 high-level experts in agriculture to the four African countries, whom are scheduled to be sent during the rest of this year. China is sending 114 youth volunteers to 10 African countries. Excellent documents with these African countries to establish 36 schools in the framework of the plan to establish 100 schools in work areas in the developing African countries before 2009. China received a number of scholarships provided to African students by 700 this year and next year by 600, hopefully by 2000. So what has been, China has been giving about 10,000 scholarships to African students annually, so they will increase this thing so that they can meet the target of the capacity establishing as we talked earlier. On the political contracting processes, there is a competition in disaster reduction in Africa, and we thought this would be very close with the UN agencies, with the developed departments of disaster control all over the continent, and the UN, the International Civil Defense Organization, to create capacity in the continent to deal with various disasters, as our nations may be aware of. But also we thought we should template on migration, refugees, educated people, and work closely with the UNHCR, an international organization for migration. Then also we, like we said before, we need to intensify fight against malaria, pandemic and other pandemics, especially in Africa. But to do that, China has been working through WHO, UNA, UNICEF, and the Global Fund for AIDS, Tourism and Malaria. So we say the cooperation between China and Africa is not a substitute to this other multilateral cooperation. So that should go on as well. Now, in the regular political review, like the meeting that we heard in Lod in November, they will be discussing the issue of anti-desertification, management of water resources, biodiversity, development, scientific and technology research, social matters, research issues, police and other law enforcement mechanisms, tourism, drug trafficking, and other aspects of organized crime, demining illegal migration. That's in the case MPs that we have discussed with China, especially in South Africa, the issue of some of this criminal activities by some of the anti-social elements from the Chinese and Hallelujah. Human trafficking, or standing of selling of counterfeit goods. So we're discussing with it. And we find that it's not only South Africa, but it's an issue that most African countries are concerned about. So that's why I think that we need a particular cooperation among our law enforcement. In fact, I'm going to create their law enforcement officers in South Africa so we can deal with all this anti-social activity. Let us China, Africa. But honestly, I thought that maybe if I could just stand here and discuss what we, South Africa and China, is doing. Let us China and Africa. Now, near our home, in June, you should have realized from the report that every 6 months, seven presidents meet Chinese presidents. Every 6 months. They met in Beijing in November. 3 months later, Peter Wichita was here. They met in the during the G8. So they meet regularly, almost a regular basis. So this is very, very important to create, to make sure that there is a lot of energy and momentum between us and China. So it gives us a platform to discuss all these issues of interest for both countries. In June, we sent the cabinet report, a document called the Marketing South African Economic Diplomacy, which was then approved by the cabinet report as a framework to coordinate marketing approach of South Africa. I think at one other briefing, we spent more time on this cabinet report, the outcome on how should we market South Africa, all of us from local government, provincial government, from the parliament, all of us. With a new strategy to see how we can make it a country. So I need to be another case chair for Britain. But out of this coming report, the cabinet identified and said, let's use China as a first test case for targeting and quality training of marketing South Africa. Let's go to China because there's so much on China. So let's agree to work together, all of us from all the local governments. And this working together will focus on two things. And why did the cabinet put us to China? First of all, is the size, sheer size of the economy of China and our national interest in the GDP. We are the biggest partner of China in the continent, accounting to almost 1% of all the trade between China and Africa comes from South Africa. Our company has invested close to $2 billion in China. And Chinese have not started to invest in South Africa. I think now it's about $400-500 billion. But you can see on the project of the pipeline, that very significant couple of billions of Chinese money pouring into South Africa. If you look into the pipeline project, these are just what has been considered. So there is a scope for more Chinese investment in South Africa. In terms of trade, we exported in 2006 $14.2 billion worth of exports to China. But for what we call Greater China, they exported $23.54 billion. But China alone exported $46.7 billion products and goods to South Africa, when we exported only $14 billion. That gives us a surplus of over 30 billion rand between South Africa and China. But when they attack Greater China, we are selling something like 7 billion. This is the fastest growing area of cooperation between us and each of the West. So that is why the cabinet says, let's target China and see how all of us can, where we can, to reduce that trade surplus, but also to increase the potential in terms of Chinese investment in South Africa. Now, for this Kubernetes training, we thought we'd look into three programs. And we'll keep honorable MPs from our existing program. The first one is next year, marks the 10th anniversary of South Africa and China standardization. The second one is what we agreed on as South Africa China Partnership for Growth and Development. This was the outcome of discussion between President Beji and President Hu Jintao that we need to cooperate more and more on economic development. And the last one is this Mega World Expo 2010 in Shanghai. Now, on the 10th anniversary of SA-China bilateral relations, we are going to be launching major marketing campaigns in China to brand South Africa. Secondly, we need to work on the image of South Africa as a modern, advanced African country with a vibrant industrial economy. Chinese don't know this. They know diamond and crime. Now, it's not in the Jewish market without making sure that you brand South Africa. So what we envisage is that we're going to have a lot of economic exhibitions to show the product from South Africa. But we'll take a key Chinese topic in 2008. We're going to bring in cultural shows, films, books, performances, cuisines, etc., etc. Because part of this is linked to tourism promotion. Sports, people are thinking about Bafana Bafana and Chinese team, we'll see how we do. But most of the time it's going to be really commercial activity in 2008. The Chinese will do similar arrangements. We'll start with Freedom Day celebration around April, and then have a lull a bit to allow the Olympics in June, July in China, and then launch the campaign around September to the end of the year. But there is an Olympics in China, so we have to take a bit of a pause there. And at the end of the year, the president will visit China. Well, by then we hope that there is enough momentum for our president to go to China. Now, on the economic front, came from the concept that we cannot just be selling commodities to China. And when the Chinese say they are facing energy problems, you are aware that in 2004-2005, China was opening up a power station every week to open up new power stations to try to deal with the energy demand for the industry. But you cannot go on doing like that because there are environmental implications. So there is a gap. And we here, despite the minor problems that we have energy, we believe that we have a big potential in terms of energy, cheaper energy, available energy, we are the resources that we have. So the concept here is to invite the Chinese to invest in value addition of their products because they don't have enough energy to process in China. That is the concept between this SA-China Partnership for Growth and Development. So after the president has agreed, we said the most important thing for us is to secure market access. But to do that, we must identify marketable products, quality, timely delivery to China. So that is what we're working on. So we have established a technical team, honorable MPs, led by DTI, DME, Agriculture, Science and Technology, Mintec, IBC, CBSA, and Foreign Affairs. And this team is living in the next 6 days to go to China for 10 days to study the Chinese economy. They've got a 6-year plan in China. This 6-year plan in China then says to them, you must acquire the following things as you move along through this 6-year plan. Because China wants to be the leading economy by 2040.
should be the economy of the world. Now, in this 50-year plan, we have to say ourselves, what are our inputs of South Africa in this plan? What do they need from us? And how do they need this, how do they get this thing from us? So we agreed on what President Hu Jintao called win-win formula. So we are busy now developing this win-win formula between China. China has to win, we have to win. So the challenge is to get that level where we can say we will win. So for that, there's a task team going to China. And that team will then report to the deputy president who will be going to China 24-25 of this month. And so the deputy president and Chinese counterparts will then receive the report of this advanced task team, and then we begin to develop some programs around this task team. It is believed that between September and December, we'll come up with some concrete programs. So the Kanye Lukhuna in January can then sign off on this program. Thereafter, we'll start the process of negotiating with Chinese sector by sector. Because in China, by and large, economy is still done by state corporations. So we'll discuss with them those in mining, in energy, transport, technology, equipment. You have to visit all of them. We believe that that issue will take us about 9-10 months to negotiate concrete programs for investment in South Africa. In the same time, we have to identify in South Africa relevant companies that will go into this program of the Chinese. And then we hope that we can, in October, we can ask them maybe to go to China and sign off this series of concrete agreed programs of economic cooperation between China and South Africa. And the last one, Honorable MP, is we want to sustain this 2008-2009 intensive market in China by going to 2010 Expo in Shanghai. Honorable MP, I'm sure you recall the Expo in Hanover, where we had this huge South African exhibition attracting over 500,000 visitors. They want to do the same magnificent show in 2010. He believes that therefore this 3-year program should be able to help us to change the Chinese mindset about South Africa and then begin to create inroads for our exports and commodities. I want to thank Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Ambassador, for the very interesting input. I'm going to open up the floor for questions. Please, when you do ask the questions, make them short and succinct. And please let us not have a long speech before the question. Thank you. Madasa, Sibanasa, Professor, Sibakamra,
thank you for that. That's two questions. The first, you spoke about cooperation between Africa and China, and then SA and China. Now, on the part of Africa and China, I want to know the role of the AU institution in terms of that cooperation. Because you spoke about building institutions. I didn't hear institutions like NEPAD, for example. Are the Chinese dealing with all of us, or one by one with us? And I have a problem if we're going to continue with that one by one approach, because it may negatively impact on us. So, institutions like the Council of Ministers. The second issue is the role of China, talking about politics, in conflict resolution. Is there anything that we have concretely agreed on at the continental level with China? What do we expect of them?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine will be few. But I'll start by commenting about the marvelous move by South African government towards the relationship with China. And then also to try maybe to address the fears which were created by some people. For an example, it is known, well known, that China is bringing Ama Hong Kong to South Africa. But other people are making a mistake. They forget that even genes like me is from China. They don't calculate it as the best thing from China, but they see everything from China very negative. But to come to the question, you see, my concern is about the issue of anti-social activity. Why I'm raising this matter, I'll put an example about the things, atrocities which are taking place all over the world, especially in South Africa. I mean, I'm not satisfied about the approach, how they deal about this anti-social activity, because the picture which is created outside for internationally is about a high rate of criminal activity in South Africa, forgetting that some of these criminal activities are being done by foreign people, in particular China. And then also my concern about the theme of this, yes, I'm satisfied about the technical attention which you sent to us. But my question is that because we wanted to secure the market access for the South African, that is positive. But I'm not sure whether do we reach the standard, because in terms of technology, China is advanced with us. And my worry is that our country to be used. Like in the past, some of the countries were using South Africa for experimental purposes, using people as guinea pigs, when they want to check their tables, whatever, why they didn't test anything in their country. So I don't know where are we, or how are we going to mesh that one. And then the last one, I'm a little bit concerned about this cancellation of all interest fees, about the debt between the countries which are relating with China. I'll put an example, like the issue of Zimbabwe. Some people have forgotten that in Zimbabwe there are people who implemented the issue of sanction against Zimbabwe. Practically, like saving a person, when this person is preparing to die, and then you start to say, hey, this person is dying. Unaware that you could be tested on that particular thing. So I don't know how long it's going to take when you cancel those sanctions.
Thank you, Chief, for allowing me. My question relates to my own portfolio in some way, and I'm not sure if you can respond. I'm from the Defense Committee. I don't see anything there. Perhaps we might get that briefing when it comes to you do brief Defense Committee. But if you can respond, please. If you can't, then I don't have a problem with it. I don't see any input in terms of, we know that China has a highly sophisticated defense industry, and I don't see anything relating to our, you know, defense cooperation with the defense-related industry, and also the armed services of the two states, exercises. It's like we're having these naval exercises at the moment with NATO. So do we not envisage any such cooperation between our two countries?
I'm sorry. Do I have a mic here? Thank you. thank you, Chair.
I don't know just where to start. I think very marvelous approach, unprecedented in the history of Africa, that is with regard to investment and aid and so on. We're quite a lot. But am I here? I'm trying to. Which one? Oh, I see. Can I be heard now?
Yeah.
I'm saying that the approach by China to Africa is absolutely unprecedented. It's very comprehensive. So I just don't know where to start, but I will limit my question. The first one
first one is with regard to the 50-year plan. I noticed, if I understand well, that in China it is mainly state corporation, whereas we have here it is mainly the private sector. And I'd like to know how this is going to work, whether it has been mooted out, exactly how it is going to work. Because if it were state corporation, there's no problem. But I don't know whether it works well, whether it's state corporation on one side and private sector on the other. Then there is a question of scholarship. It is not clear to me whether these scholarships are all for Africa. I noticed there were 4,000 mentioned, as well as 10,000 scholarships. I don't know whether they are all from Africa or from country. I assume that they are all from Africa. Then of course the question of development area to lead Africa, as it was said. Is it possible to say exactly what this development involves? Because it would seem that Africa lacks infrastructure. And really there can be no development until there's an improvement on the infrastructure for Africa. Then of course there is also the question of technology. Are there three questions that I've asked? Okay, I'll take the second round.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I'd like to also thank Ambassador Matila for a very interesting presentation. I wanted to ask a bit about the China-South Africa trade. The Ambassador mentioned a win-win situation, which is our goal, and of course this is incredibly important. It does seem to me, looking at the figures that were presented, that China's winning more than we are at this point, because the unfavorable balance of trade has increased between 2005 to 2007 by 11 billion. It seems to be about 22 billion, according to the figures that we have on this printout. But actually, on the board, it's grown, and it's now 33 billion. So I wondered if you could just, I took you to say that we're trying to address this, but the question is, why is this happening? Where is the bulk of the imports from China that leads to this situation, and what are we doing about that? And just on the one thing I missed here, if I could ask Ambassador Matila to just possibly give us one or two more details on the, I mean, we have all these interesting figures about the global involvement of China in Africa. But I was hoping in the South Africa section for more detail as to what our share was of all this largesse from China, you know, the malaria centers, the schools, the students. And I wonder if you could indicate to what extent South Africa actually benefits, because there's a huge amount of competition for China's favors, it seems, in Africa. I mean, there are 15 countries that are being focused on by the Chinese top dogs, it seems. So I wondered if you could give us a bit more detail there. Thank you.
Just to add to that question, my concern is what one gathers is that our export to China is mainly a raw material. And what we get back from China is manufactured goods. And that is of course a concern, because where does it leave our manufacturing sector? And are we actually doing the right thing by sending out all our raw materials to South Africa?
I think my question is connected to what you have taken in other words, Kamala is saying, it's based on page 9. in that phase, especially on the skills development. I think certainly South Africa in the whole continent, we are the ones who are receiving more immigrants. And also the when it comes to a developmental issues, I think much as we need, we also have taken the responsibility of assisting most African countries. Now, on these figures that are in front of us here, Ambassador, because it is a continental figure, and to be honest, you can't give somebody up if you yourself are hungry. Now, much as it will be, of course, quite noble about South Africa to allow other countries to go for this training. What is the percentage of South Africans? Because I think it is important for South Africans also to apply all these skills as they have skills currently in the country. So a bit of breakdown whether South Africa is also benefiting or with it. What percentage comes to South Africa? Because we also need it.
Thank you for I'd like to hear what you're going to say about what is happening out there, about the view that you get to see this from equality, quality. The poor people going by this time. And then you remember too, because it's all done with it. And they undertake our people. I do come from a constituency where, in fact, there have been Chinese businesses just coming, you know, and people come to me and talk about this. They cheap food, cheap labor, and then also, this is rather sensitive, but I've got to raise it, the attitude. You know, the attitude of the Chinese towards the community that they come in contact with the African community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, thanks. Let me first thank the Honourable Committee for raising this very important question. I will attempt to answer all of them. The first one on the China role on the role of institutions in the continent. China is working very closely. AU, President of the AU Commission, is part of the initiative. But indeed, Honorable Professor Konari not only attended the focus summit, but he spoke on the focus summit about the NEPAL program and how to be streamlined. The challenge of things in pursuing NEPAL program and individuals is that African individual presidents want their challenges. They want their school, they want their hospital, they want to deliver. So you see that process where do you reconcile your individual needs with the product of the country? You see, in that summit, you could see the thrust is my country needs this, my country needs this.
Okay.
And again, South Africa says, me and the country needs this. So we still have to find the mechanism of reconciling this pressing individual continental needs with a broader one. Because let's say this is what I'm thinking. Some countries are so pressed that one hospital can depress the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
One type C clinic which is depressed the whole province. It is that level of need in some African countries. So when you say we, they get a bit confused because they want to move. Just a 10-kilometer road in some of the countries make a huge difference. So I think we're still in that area where we still have these challenges of me and you.
I think those more developed African countries need a bit of sympathy with those who still say, I want this, my country wants this. But I think as we move on, we'll find a formula where we can all talk about this as a continent. So that's why we said, when China says no, we'd like to work with the AU, first build the conference center. And then we have from this deal and development, we can work on infrastructure. The question raised by, I think, Honorable Dr. N.T. Pence of infrastructure. This one deal of infrastructure development fund, part of it will be used for infrastructure development. Now, some say it has infrastructure, hospitals and this. Some say it's no. I have infrastructure like irrigation system and centers of excellence of agriculture. So, NIPA Secretary, Dr. Mukabele, together with the President Konari, are beginning to work as how do you do this? What is the center in South Africa would be for the region? Every center we are going to do in South Africa is going to have budget, in a way. So, this is infrastructure. So, I think this, all these things are talking about, so many people, so many ministers, I think, bringing to China. China has become a destination. You have to tease out this particular thing. Last year, we arranged for Professor Mukabele to go to China and sign a partnership agreement between China and NIPA. So that you correctly said, as they come in, they must know that this continental program, they don't deal with us individually. However, politics is politics. Sometimes you use some of these things to project power and responsibility. So you cannot deny that China has come to say, but I did with them, why don't you help me to do them? So it is that sort of balance. We are the only one in South Africa, I think, where we really, give and see something. I give you this to vote for me. We see development from a very different angle than other countries. We have the capacity to lead, it is try to do so, not ask anything. But in the world, sometimes you see these differences of approach. But I'm very satisfied with how China wants to work in Africa, because we do recognize that part of their work identifies to help others integrate. There is this issue of Morocco. So we call it China Africa. Now Morocco is part of that group, but Morocco is not part of the AU. But there is that sort of delicate understanding that by and large is AU led, but you cannot deny Morocco either. China and conflict resolution. These are some of the issues we discussed with China. That part of the spirit of China to assist Africa to recover has to deal with helping Africa. Indeed, part of this regular meeting between Senegal and Zimbabwe and Beijing is to deal with formula of helping Africa. Because they really admire that Africa rules in the continent. Our work in DRC, Burundi, Rwanda, Ivory Coast, now. So they wanted a party. Part of this was because they were accused in the past of small arms proliferation. Now China has taken a different role. You see, as a responsible global player. And we say there is a role we partner with. For example, Darfur. You know, it's time to convince the president of Sudan to agree on the comprehensive robot force for the UN. But because they knew the Chinese ones were there, so we asked China to use that, and China assisted to deliver Sudan because everybody was interested. So from us, we saw a partner. These Chinese and delegations that convinced Sudanese, you are interested to cooperate with the UN. Initially, people are saying China is going, doesn't care about human rights, we don't put money there. But the Chinese, they came to meet us about 3-4 times. And they used the robots and comprehensive on the ground. And they helped us. And you can see this change this change of posture of China on the continent. I think it's a very, very welcome development. Anyway, those of us who are in the neighboring strike, those of you in the neighboring strike, you know China fully in Africa for the last year, not the first time. China was involved in the national liberation struggle in the continent. China assisted many countries to get their own independence. In the process, it's the first time China has Of course, there are those small elements involved in criminality. It's a question to say with regards to China, the police cooperation, they help us identify some of them originally coming from China. You know, we talk about China, people also think that we have people in Taiwan, also they have this anti-social activity, not only mainland. So I think there is a deal of differentiation. Not every Chinese really come from China. So sometimes they might be Chinese, but they might be from another country. What is it? India, not only from India, they might be from other countries. But we are cooperating with China. They are going with us to help us to create capacity in those sort of elements identified. As I say, they are going to increase their presence internationally. They are sending more two additional people in the area. But I think that those have an interest to make sure that the name of China is not gained in any way. They want to see China as a global power. That consideration, how long? The focus, China says, I'm going to country, all dead owned by the developing countries immediately. And I think this was a very landmark achievement. Where China says all the state zones, luckily most of the debt owned to China by Africa is state, unlike in the rest of the world. You know, debt has changed. In most countries now in private debt and few states. Second country state, private debt states, and we still have huge debt overhang. Now in China, luckily most of it the debt owns the state. So if the state are going to cancel debt, so it means huge progress from Africa because most of this land is I think what I'm saying is immediate. You talked about the defense cooperation. In the DNC, Bilateral Commission between China and South Africa, we have five committees. One of these committees is defense cooperation. You're pleased to know that they meet every year. They met in December, and they have extensive cooperation, including Maduro. They're going to meet again in December. So there is a very good cooperation in defense areas between Paris and China. As a matter of fact, during the 10th anniversary celebration, our Navy, which is located in Hong Kong and Shanghai, we're going to use the Navy, the ship there, to celebrate the 10th anniversary around Shanghai. So we're going to be in activities around Shanghai, when our Navy dogs there in China, to promote China, coordination. We're still waiting on the program for that. But there's a very, very good cooperation between China and Caracas on the defense. And that is one of the most successful, I think, areas of cooperation. Then, Honorable Dr. Pedro, you thank you very much for the observation that there's a really unprecedented cooperation between China and Africa. It's a new development. It's a new leaf. I think it's something that we need to build on. As I said, there's been 50 years between Africa and China. It's not a new thing, but now it's a new area. It's economic cooperation. It's training. It's facilities. So I think it's something that we really need to see how we can and on how we can build on this partnership. Now, on the issue of scholarships, by and large, most of these scholarships China is providing, and it's an issue that's raised by Honorable International Minister. Most of them are really to countries that have difficulties with human resources. We do also have our challenges of access to education, but relatively speaking, we are better off than most of the countries. However, the Chinese have identified that Saraiko also needs skills. That is why they said to us, send 100 trainees each month. We are training now language, for example, language for 2010. We are training language speakers in China. We had four foreign affairs for 2 years. We're going to be taking 8 more. I think Minister of Tourism and Industry is taking more people who are preparing Chinese for free. Are helping us create skills for 2010. Or is it just to understand the Chinese are traveling now. And we in China are now partners. You know, we have to, I think, be the partner for destination. So we see increasing Chinese coming here. That's about, they even have a flight now. You can fly from here to Shanghai non-stop. There's a China flight coming here. So there is, you see more and more increased tourism. So we need to improve the language skill of our top arena. So I've been cooperating with the Global Tourism and the environment to train more and more. I think I've trained about 21 from Senegal. They've been in China for a month to improve their language skills. So we think we're going to build a good team of Chinese language speakers. Speaking foreign affairs, we'll be taking next four, we're taking 8 more. We believe we can, but we have to. If we can engage China as a serious player, we have to create the language skills. So, but by and large, the skills that we have been to most many African countries. But what you said, to China, we like to build in South Africa centers like this actual center of expertise. Let's build it in South Africa, this institute. Then we can invite more and more of our own people in the neighborhood to acquire skills in agriculture. Because you have to say, why did China, in the space of 25 years, manage to deal with poverty and development? Why so many millions of Chinese have been taken out of poverty? Why is it possible that a country of 1 billion people, in a short period of time, have managed to deal with the question of poverty? So once you learn that, but you do that in an institute, you can take more and more people. In fact, when President Bujindar was here, they gave us about 200 million money for vocational training. I think we have close to 100 now at the general technical skills. We'll be training 500 plumbers, you know, in the same industry. So Chinese is okay, we'll give you. So they give us 200 million. So we make an arrangement with the general technical. So we're doing plumbers, welders, you know, it's 10 weeks, 6 weeks, we're now moving towards 2 years to the daily supply. In this case, because 500 people we train, unemployed graduates, unemployed matriculants, so that the industry have this, that's again what China is doing now. But we also say we can send about 100 to China for advanced skills. So we're working on this second program. This first, that's why I started. Started around July. We started the one now towards the end of next year on high level training on data areas that we so it is kind of very concrete, honorable very concrete but directed to support economic growth, because the challenge here is asking how do we grow our economy. You say the Chinese, no, you have to address the bottleneck on the GDP. They said, as you like it, give us the skills, we fund it. So that's beginning to fund those areas for this thing. I did answer the one Honorable Pedro on Pegu on the infrastructure development. That says that NIPAD Secretariat and China have a MOU of cooperation. And in this MOU, NIPAD outlined the various programs they have in the continent. And during the focus, Professor Mukabele was again in the team. So I'm working with the what they call implementation committee in China. They were the secretariat that implement the program for Africa. So they are in contact with the NIPAD to see which areas in this program of NIPAD China can be supporting. But I think our hope will be that they will, through this $1 billion development fund, will begin to address the bottleneck, maybe in some infrastructure programs, over and above the hospitals, schools, and others, to make sure that our things are doing. And Honorable Kamara, on win-win, this is what President Bush is out for. Both in Beijing and when we are going to the West, we want the win-win formula. Now the challenge for all of us is to begin to develop this win-win. I don't think it can be a foreign affairs mode only. What is this win-win? But what I read from that is that the Chinese are ready to meet us halfway. The Chinese are ready to cooperate. The Chinese are ready to invest. The Chinese are ready to address this huge trade imbalance. The challenge is what is it that we should do to deal with that trade imbalance? Well, they are ready. In fact, last 2 months ago, they sent a huge group, their Deputy Minister of Trade was here, with a big group to look where they can invest, where they can buy. This has to them around the question that you raised. Where can you buy? Where can you buy? That is why this issue of South Africa, China, partnership for economic development, and this task team, technical team, they can go to China and study the Chinese economy. What is it that we can supply? What do we supply to China? But in what format do we supply to China? And there's a question of trade imbalance. 1 and 0 is a question of trade imbalance. Otherwise, you were saying that we send more on the children. And he says, I'm fine. And he says, no, fine. We know part of the bank trade that you have is raw material. But he says, we're fine. Let's go together. Let's change this thing. But we are in it together. Now, it's a welcome development, I think, for us to say we're in it together. And this technical team is going to study what is this Chinese doing for the next 25 years? What are you supplying to China? Therefore, where can an acceptable program for both countries to cover? What we are aware of that is China is ready to invest in South Africa. Now, we have to create those conditions where they can invest in production and processing in South Africa, including infrastructure, because they don't invest, you don't need infrastructure. So I think part of this has been outcome. We need to identify areas where we can have Chinese African companies cooperating in transformation of our commodities in South Africa, and therefore begin to change the basket of goods we send to China. Hopefully no longer raw material only, but in steel, no longer chrome, in some form. I think that is what we will work out from now until January, and then next year to work on the business. So we do hope that Honorable MP and DC will also assist in this this process. And there was the question raised by the I think Honorable Chair also added on this one material question that we see the basket of the channel. And if you confirm that, Honorable MP, that it is mostly raw materials. But as you say, we are now moving towards some condition of this issue. So, as a matter of fact, when the I'm glad that Honorable Minister is here, because when she was in Beijing in May, she agreed with her Chinese counterpart on this team to be sent quickly to China to study the economy and see how we partner. Maybe the Honorable Minister will take opportunity and talk more about this, because it's part of what I did think, Honorable MP, that the skills you asked, by and large, the percentage, how much of the level of the skills really has not been much. It has been mostly in both African countries. But as I say, we are then concentrating on what we have lacked. We have identified certain areas where we are lacking, and I think by building this institution. We hope tables will increase the intake of our people in the aquarium relevant to China. And we talk about cheap goods, cheap labor from China. We know that the Chinese don't have new manufacturing. Most manufacturing is by the Taiwanese. We have Chinese from China. They do a lot of small things, especially in the light industry. And we are using more and more Taiwanese in that area. And people recall that during the homeland, they had this border industry. But by and large, the Chinese from Taiwan and Hong Kong, not from the My focus was more and more on mainland. But indeed, if there are such concerns of attitude, positive, I think one of the ministers is here, you know, we can discuss that in that process. But when you see all of us, I don't remember what I was saying, when we grew up in the United States, we talk about Hong Kong and Hong Kong. But indeed, we are finding it for me. You know, our people need quality food. That's what I think we do. And then we go on with this discussing this. We hope we find an excellent formula to deal with this issue. But I think, summarizing this response, I think it worked well with the present arrangement. Our partnership with China will assist us in rebuilding those elements of the economy. I think it's a very positive development. I think they mean good, and I think we can do it. But as I say, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister is here, so maybe you add. Thank you, Minister, for coming.
First of all, let me welcome Madam Minister. We are very happy that you are with us today. And we invite you, if you'd like to contribute some of your knowledge in this regard. Well, thank you. First, let me apologize. I know I had been invited to come at 11, but I sent a message that I have to balance cabinet and the portfolio committee, because I also am very ready to cabinet. So when I'm here, they expect me to be there. So that's why, but I knew it would be there. But I thought, even if it's as long as 11, I should be here. So my respect can come. Well, I'm sure he is pleased to adequately, but maybe I would just emphasize the Chinese obviously have their own interests in the economic sphere. As you might know, they want to quadruple their GDP by 2020, and that's a huge challenge, and that's got implications for all of us. If they are going to quadruple, say, their GDP by 2020, it means they are going to need more and more of these raw materials from Africa and so on. So how do we, the challenge is, how do we, while China achieves this quadruple of its GDP, how do we make sure that that does not underdevelop Africa, that we also take advantage of that and develop it. One of the things specifically to South Africa was that we need to deal with the trade imbalance, but also we need to change what we spend to China. Not only increase what we sell, but also the change the things and look at manufactured goods. But this is rather, I think we should treat this as a kind of long-term relationship. Because what China has achieved with us is that we must see what they need and what we can supply now and what we have the potential of supplying tomorrow. And then
disagree with you, and then some of our industries to be geared to supply that market, which is a huge market. They're giving themselves told their procurement company that South Africa must be one of the priority countries for which they procure. But for them to be able to then do that, we should have things sent to them. So it means that we need to do a proper study and supply what we can supply now. But if we have a long-term agreement, then we can even develop the potential so that we can eventually supply them. But they've also, you recall that they also, when we were discussing about the quotas from textile quotas from China, they also said if we want, they are ready to work with us to assist us to make our textiles more competitive. Because it is though people have this belief that Chinese things are cheap and not good quality, they actually do produce world quality stuff. We buy, even the rand machines that you buy in the US, the majority of them come from there. The clothes that you buy in lots of Western countries now come from there. You go to China, you find small business people like sewing and putting labels for all these big names in the West and sending to them. So yes, there may be some that are producing cheap goods, but they also do produce quality stuff. But they said they would be willing to work with us to assist us in making sure that we are also competitive, because our part of our problem with our textile industry is not being competitive. But the president also agreed with the president of China that we should try and work together, not only on the African relationship, on the South African relationship, but also in looking at the African relationship, because it might be easier for us to work with China and merge, because our industry is quite well developed compared to the rest of Africa. But that we will also work with them in looking at the relationship with Africa as a whole. So I think to some extent the body is in our court as Africans, to make sure that we're not only happy with selling what we have now, but that we look at developing, using it to develop the industry as well. But if countries are decided to sell as quickly as possible what they have and not look at using this opportunity to develop the industry, 20 years down the line we find that we are poorer than it, and then we blame it on China. But I think we should work in such a way that we can also benefit from this. But let me just raise another issue, which is separate, because I just have the opportunity. Just to remind our colleagues, Honorable MC, about the One China policy. I'm doing this because the Taiwanese are always very active in trying to sabotage this One China policy. They come at it at different ways, and sometimes if you are not alert, you may fall into a trap. We've been having lots of discussions with the Chinese on this matter, because they feel that even though we have a One China policy, but not everybody acts in that way. And I'm quite sure when I look at some of the things that they mentioned,
progress because people want, don't believe in a one-China policy. It's just that sometimes people don't think what they are doing is sabotaging that one-China policy. So it's important to when we have to deal with Taiwan, to be sure that what we are dealing with is not in the realm of undermining that one-China policy. Because and what should guide us is really the fact that the only gay cooperation that we agreed to continue with the Taiwanese is mainly on the economic trade arena. But the rest is we have to deal with China, with mainland China. For instance, I'll just give a simple example. How the Taiwanese can be trapped in trying to undermine it. A couple of years, if that request has come back again now. A couple of years, Taiwan wanted to pay a state visit to Malawi and Swaziland, because those are the countries in Sudan that can produce Taiwan and not in, the People's Republic. And they then wanted to take that opportunity to actually undermine our one China policy. So they asked if they could transit through South Africa. But they were coming in their own place. The reason was their plane is too big to land in South Africa. They need a runway that can land on 747. So, but the Malawi airport does land in South Africa. No, but they want to land in South Africa and then take a smaller plane from South Africa to go to Malawi and South Africa. Then, initially, it was like they will just do that in Joburg at the airport. So when we were just beginning to say, okay, maybe if we are going to just do that, maybe we can leave it there. Then the visa application was for 3 days. Now we're going to spend 2 days in Malawi, but 3 days in South Africa where they are transiting. And once you've got a visa into South Africa, then you can do anything. And then we don't recognize you as a president. Your mission will treat you as a president and we invite you to you and we meet honorable MPs who may not be thinking that, oh, well, this is here, we might as well. So they use very special. So when we refused, they even went to Swaziland to say the king must send an envoy to the president to say foreign affairs is really impossible because they are only one in the country. So they don't understand why they can't be allowed to transit. But when we explain, then they realize that they are right. But I'm just saying, so they will use all sorts of means. I'm sure that we want to invite you to visit Taiwan, but then we don't have foreign policy relations with Taiwan. So what you do there? But they will try. So just to alert you so that we don't get, because at the end of the day, I mean, if we were to choose, do the choose, there is no question for our interest, where our interest would lie. So we don't want to undermine that one side of policy in any manner, but just be aware.
Thank you, Madam Minister. It's 12:30 now, and I think we have extra input. Am I correct?
Let's see how many people they do next time. They give us chance to become that.
Because if we are really serious about having this relationship, how can we leave out one of the most important institutions within Parliament? So there was a vast discussion. Now, I don't know whether Parliament has had the opportunity to discuss this, because we are hosting, so we can, and in fact, we should. Be able to, even if it's at the beginning, maybe just a couple of MPs from each of the parliament or a few, to start the discussion to see what kind of relationship we can have as part of the ISRA summit, if it's possible. That's the only thing that is rather urgent. Of course, if we don't do it this time, then India will do it, because India will be next. But it would have been good if we were to, even if it's just a few, even if we just invite you a foreign affairs portfolio committee, so that Parliament is part and parcel of what the bigger Parliament is discussing the matter. So that I thought I should leave that on your table. You don't have to report now, but you can discuss it on your own. Let us know what you think, and if you think it's possible, even just to invite a few from your own portfolio committee, if the parliament as a whole has not discussed it, then you let us know so that we can factor it in the preparation. But otherwise, the incumbent will keep you a much fuller person.
Thank you. And if we just to report back. We have raised a question of the parliamentary arms of the parliament, and it has gone to the Speaker's office. I did have a chat with the Deputy Speaker this morning, and he's in fact going to raise it to the Speaker's office at 12 o'clock. So we will be able to get some response. I have the same thing that Vice Foreign Affairs could have a group from trade industry, arts and culture, health environment, so we can have a meaningful group interaction with other parliamentarians in other countries. So we are working on that. I think Mr. Chairman has his hand up, and then I think
very good, but that obviously to us.
so that these are human tendencies.
And then the last one, I've mentioned about the whole curriculum. It's a prosperous economy, booming and growing fast. Perhaps the perception is because centered around cheap labor. But on the other hand, also sacrifice of the Chinese that they're working towards a bigger goal. And the argument is that we say, well, we can get less in terms of remuneration for a bigger kit in 10, 20 years. And on the other hand, we're demanding more at the expense of this bigger kit in the future, demanding higher salaries, etc. But we hesitate because it's our reality. We're venturing out and our people have to understand. These are our bodies, the citizens. To understand what you're saying, you must say, Mark Rumo from Marcella up and down, she doesn't know what she wants in this world.
Thank you, Mr. Ceremony.
The last question,
I think,
just a quick question. Yes, first of all, I'd like to ask the minister said something about Chinese assistance to manufacture, in other words, assisting us to manufacture. I want to know if this has been affected and if so, who is it doing, or is it still in the pipeline? That is to you, Madam Minister. The other one is really the one I wanted to ask Eddie upon with regard to the 10,000 scholarships. Because I feel that we need to know what sort of education is being offered here. Africa has been offered more of social studies, and we have suffered, I think, insofar as science and technology concerns. Now, for developmental purposes, and of course, for purposes of processing our raw materials that are enriching others and impoverishing us, we definitely have to have more emphasis on science and technology, so that everybody can out both in science and technology, not more social studies. I think we have enough of that, at least compared with science and technology.
Just to add to
what
one of the speakers said, the ministry said that the Chinese are willing to assist us in beefing up our manufacturing sector. My question then would be, is our private sector willing to accept the assistance of China in streamlining and making our manufacturing sector more competitive? Because I think without their willingness, it may become a problem. How do you address it in their black radio system? Well, you need to accept, you see, I allowed you one question. Okay, very quick thing,
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, kind of you. It's encouraging to see China that it was Africa. Let's hope that it materializes. However, my concern is there a mechanism to monitor the material and financial aid that will come to these African countries? Because we do know that some countries have a history of abusing aid, and that's the reason why they actually have a chance of aid. So aid doesn't necessarily work if it's not utilized efficiently and efficiently and properly. Is there a structure to monitor that? Yes. Thank you.
No, I think my minister
will. Well, maybe let me just say something general first. Now, I'm not an apologist for China and labor and all that. But China has 1.3 billion people. So it may not have any scarce resources like we have. They train their people in millions. Because in capitalism,
which unfortunately is dominant in the world, this supply and demand. If the demand is less than the supply, then they pay people what they according to their own availability of resources and all. Because you see, even in our public sector, now there are certain resources that we have to try and keep because the private sector is taking them. And so we have to try and adjust salaries. And you find that you end up with a huge salary structure with a degree, and maybe the same salary as a person much lower just because they have to possess a FS scheme. China doesn't have that kind of FS scheme because they have huge resources, their education system, they control, and they send lots of people also to the West to go and study there and to stay there and to get experience. If you go to Shanghai, it's amazing how many Chinese that speak American English you find, who have lived there, trained there, now they are coming to build their country. So I'm just saying this generally, so that we don't compare apples and oranges sometimes when we try and compare. Of course, also, even their own cost of living, they're not necessarily the same as ours, because also the government, the state still has quite a lot of say in the economy. But also, they've instituted a very strict work ethic, which we may not agree with, but because they have a goal that they want to achieve, the Chinese are happy to get to work according to that ethic. For instance, in China, if they start a building now, they will never leave that site until they finish. Yes, they have a 3-hour shift. The 3 days, three shifts a day. They have flat lunch on that site, and 8 hours people come and be. They start today, that site will only be left when they hand over it. This is not the work ethic that we have. Well, they work for 8 hours, but they work in shifts. So that's one issue. In fact, I'll tell you a story. One country, which I will not name, wanted something built. And they said, we don't want you to bring Chinese to come and build it. We want to keep X percentage of the workforce in Vietnam. So the Chinese said, fine. But we want to finish this thing in X amount of time. So they brought the Chinese equivalent to what they had agreed on, and then brought in some extras, just kept them in their compound, and then allow the indigenous. And they worked, before 2 months was over, the indigenous said, no. And they left, and the Chinese got their extras, they continued to finish the job in that specified time. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm saying that's the reality that we have to compete with. But of course, if you know, if you are a Chinese and you know there are 1.3 billion of us, you're not going to say, no, I don't want to work today, I'm babalang, because you know, there are 1.3 billion Chinese. And, you know, so, but also the Chinese, and somebody bigger picture that we are working towards is, as I said, just one element of that is to pass through their communities by 2020. So if every Chinese is working towards their vision, and there are 1.3 of them or more, then you can see what will happen. That's the general issue that we should always bear at the back of our minds. And one of the things that the Chinese did before they even opened up their economy to this level, they said they wanted to make sure that their people have food security, that every Chinese can eat, which is very important. And they've been able to do that to a large extent. But one of the things that we have to look at is that as the Chinese economy grows, at the moment China is still a developing country. They have some elements, but they are still a developing country. But as their economy strengthens, as the Chinese get a bit wealthier, they will be wanting to buy a lot of more manufactured stuff and drink more juice than they are drinking today. So some of us should be looking at that and working and saying, well, in 2020, when they have quadrupled their GDP, they are spending quite a bit different. Today, some ones are very much in demand in that, which was not the case before. But we sell them rough diamonds or we sell them jewelry. Those are the kind of things that other countries are looking at and putting themselves in the right mode for taking advantage of the Chinese economy. Now, coming to the question whether this is happening, this agreement was negotiated, but the line function people is trading industry in terms of the textile agreement, which was to limit the code to agree on a particular quota for Chinese textiles, but also the Chinese offers to assist our industry to make it more competitive, particularly in the textiles. Whether it has been implemented already, I doubt. It's trade and industry, but even trade and industry, as the chairperson was saying, can only do up to this far, and the private sector has to take on, because our economy is controlled by the private sector, and so if the private sector doesn't take advantage of that, then it should not happen. But also, this idea of whether the Chinese goods do reach the standard, the acceptable standard, I think we shouldn't only look at the Chinese. The Chinese don't just arrive in our shores and we go and buy them on the beach. Some people order them, and some of them even cheat. So there's also a lot of, some of them cheat, some of them put labels made in South Africa when it's not made in South Africa. And that's not ordinary people, that's not government, that's business. So it's important for everybody to work together. There are sometimes lots of shitloads of things that get confiscated by SARS, which have come here through that proper means. So everyone has to work together, business and government, to make sure that the goods that come are goods that are actually and that's government. But even in South Africa, we've seen how sometimes corruption. We've seen how people, even in the Bureau of Finance, get bored to cast inferior quality condoms, which are life saving. Which are life saving, but somebody is willing to be bought to specify something that he knows does not reach and not reach the proper standard, and something he knows can save or lose life. So it's everybody that must come to the party when it comes to substandard goods. But I don't think South Africa necessarily can import substandard goods, but it's just something that we all have to work towards. As for the other African countries, whether we can, what mechanisms we have to assist them, I don't think we have a worked out mechanism in part. OCAC itself is that kind of mechanism where together we can sit and say, how are we handling the Chinese relationship? And together we can share experiences with the Chinese and see whether there is something that we need to strengthen. And that's why we feel very strongly that we should speak to the Chinese, even though we work with them individually, but this forum, which is a collective forum of Africans, so that we have a collective voice in dealing with them. But I think it's in our hands. We can't keep blaming the Chinese. It's in our hands. It's really like a story that some young naughty boy went to this traditional healer who's supposed to know things. So they said, this traditional healer wants to see that we must find a legitimate reason for that. So let's go and ask him a question. And if he fails to answer it, then he will say, we are teaching people, so that's the thing. So they argued among themselves, what is it that you can go and ask him? So one brilliant one said, no, let's carry a little file here in our community and ask him, what are we here? So the one, and he never think of a file. So the other one says, what is he saying? He says, and the other writer one says, no. Then we ask him, is it alive or dead? If he says it's alive, we kill it before we kill him. If he says it's dead, we give it to him alive. So either way, he's going to do. So they went to this man, and they told him straight that if he loses, because it means that cheating will hold him. So this man was listening, and eventually he said, they are serving him these birds. And they said, okay, is this a dead or alive? So he thought, he said, and he said, I can't talk about the life of the bird. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. I can't talk about life. It's in your hands.
So,
no, the Chinese are not telling us. We should tell ourselves that the life of this relationship is also in our hands. We can decide to kill it, or we can decide to enrich it. And we have that capacity to make it work if we put our mind and energy and plans and everything.
You are going to comment about the scholarship.
No. You have covered the issue of the
everything really in terms. The question of the scholarship, I think Honorable Tebu is right. What has happened, and what is happening, we are more and more looking into what we need in the scholarship. As I was saying, Honorable Tebu, that we are moving more towards, you know, after balancing agriculture, we can see the plans now of the scholarship and the structure that is building by the centers of excellence to deal with the issue of food security, the issue of development of the rural areas. If you see the number of schools that are developing also, it's more in the rural areas. So that's simply the issues that really compound us in the condition. But as we were saying, it's us who say what we need, that we really need language, both for government and private sector. Chinese language is important. For tourism, for investment, for community. What is the question of skills used in the construction industry? If you have to take all these 2010 programs, you really need artisans. So we are beginning to do the artisan field. So we are identifying what we need, and Chinese are saying no problem, we have to look at it. So I think it is us to define our needs, because there is full cooperation from the Chinese side. This is the only thing I want to say in this question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prime Minister and Ambassador, for a really fruitful and very interesting discussion today. Thank you once again. I just want to ask my colleagues to remain behind for 3 minutes. We have a quorum today and we need to adopt 3 reports. So please don't get up from your seats. Just stay put for 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Colleagues, in front of you, thank you very much. We have 3 reports. The one is the draft annual report of this committee, and this is actually for 2006. So actually, we need to be a bit ashamed of that fact. And then the second report is the report that our workshop we had at Ocean View that happened from the 2nd to the 4th of May. And then the third report is the meeting of parliamentarians in Tanzania on the 26th and 28th regarding Darfur. So we're going to take all 3 together. We've had them for some time. I hope you all read them. Can we adopt all of these 3 reports? Does anybody want to propose? Yes, sir.
On the report for Honor Committee on Foreign Affairs,
do an addendum as to the latest development and bring it to our committee. But we can't add something new. This is a report of that particular meeting on the 24th of 26th and 8th of May. Can we have a proposal for all 3 reports, please? Okay, the first report. Can I have a proposal and a seconder for the first report? For the draft annual report for Portfolio Committee 2006. Mr. Banda? Okay, can I have a seconder?
A seconder.
Okay. We have can we then take it that this report has been adopted today, the 1st of September 2007. The second report will be the report on our workshop that happened at the Ocean
well on the plan. Do we have a proposal? Dr. Pickle, you are there. He would like to propose my colleague here on the left hand side. Do we have a seconder? Can I take it that this report of the meeting held at Ocean Reserve Strand on the 22nd to the 4th of May has been adopted by this committee? Thank you. And the last report is the one, the Darfur report that the meeting that happened in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania on the 26th of May 2007. I need a proposal. Mr. Bande again, we have a seconder here, and can I take it then that we have adopted this report of the Tanzania meeting on today, the 1st of September 2007. And with that, thank you very much, colleagues. I'm sure you're hungry for your lunch, but I'm glad and especially like to thank two members who made up our forum. Thank you for coming.